Good morning, Cross Point. How's everybody today? Let's try that one more time. Good morning. Thank you very much. I could almost call you out by name this morning. I want to welcome all of our folks online today as well with our live stream and also all the folks down at the Thrive Center. We're so glad that you've come today and worshiping with us, though the restrictions have changed some. The message of the gospel has not, and so we're going to keep getting together any way possible to continue to share the love of Jesus Christ. We stand with me this morning as we take a look at our verse today. If you didn't get a chance to get a card, we do have some on the table on the back right next to the hand sanitizer. So you can grab one of those, then sanitize your hands and take it home with you, all right? Let's say it together. It's 1 John 1:9. Here we go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's do that again. All together, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One last time, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We trust you'll memorize that verse with us all this week. You may be seated. Well, we have a special guest today. Our pastor is visiting his mama, and then tomorrow he heads to Virginia for a week of training with OTAN. And so he went to sneak down and spend a little bit of time with mom, which is always precious. Our guest today is no stranger. Those of you that have been at Cross Point for a while, he has been in the ministry. You ready for this? This is a 62nd year of ministry, 16 years as a pastor. He's completed 45 years as an evangelist and now in his 46th year. And he's one of ours, a member of our church. We don't get to see him too much. And I've often said about Wendell is he's a lot like me. We don't like to sit down very long. And so the challenging thing is 62 years of ministry, that means I've got at least 26 more to catch up with Wendell. So here we go, Wendell. Buckle up, baby. You and I are in this for the race, all right? But we're so privileged to have Wendell with us today, just a faithful, faithful servant of God, speaks around the world, and we're so glad he's with us today right here back home. Will you please give a warm welcome to Dr. Wendell Calder, our dear friend.
Thank you, man. God bless you. Thank you so much, Brother Pencil. Thank you, folks, and good morning. Hey, somebody said good morning, so we got one anyway. Well, it's a joy to be here and to share with you. My wife is here with me. She was in the first service. She sat in the cafe the second service. She came in here at the beginning. I'm not sure if she's down there somewhere. If she's not, she's in the cafe. And anyway, she had back surgery here a couple of years ago, and sometimes the sitting for a long period of time is not always the best. We want to say a word of thanks and appreciation to Cross Point Church. You've been faithful supporters of our ministry for many years, and we greatly appreciate it. Also, a ministry that my wife and I started back in 1983 called Project India, and because this church is for me with Brother Chris Nanakin, so we brought Chris and his wife Joy over from India, and we've brought others as well, and we're still supporting missionaries in India. And matter of fact, we have a young man studying at Word of Life Bible Institute right now who is the son of one of the young men that we brought over some years ago. So this church has had a vital part in each of that. We say thanks. Our meetings since the first week of March have been basically canceled. I've done some preaching locally here in our state and so on. But in October, we did do 2 weeks in North Carolina and 1 week in Maryland. But as Brother Pencil mentioned in a previous service, my wife and I have lived in Newport for 45 years now, and we've spent more time in our house since March than we probably spent in the previous 45 years total. But God knows all about that, right? And it's a joy to be here with you. Got your Bible here this morning in the auditorium or wherever you're watching or listening. If you can get your Bible, whether it be printed or the electronic type or whatever. Matter of fact, if you have a bookmark in your Bible, you probably got it right in this book of the Bible. It's so familiar, and that's the book of Lamentations. I could tell. Okay, if you don't know where that is, don't feel badly. 90% of the world doesn't know. But if you're in Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Lamentations is next. If you're in Ezekiel, Daniel, back up. If you're in Psalms, go forward. How's that? That's the best I can do to help you out. Okay, Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to read just two verses. Lamentations 3, 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Just reading that far, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22, 23. God always blesses his word. Let's pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to come again and open your word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, thy word is settled forever in heaven. Help us to get it settled today in our hearts and our lives. May our ears be tuned to what you have to say. May our minds be clear to understand it. May our hearts be open to receive it. And above all, may our wills be submitted to obey it. And we'll thank you in Christ's precious name. Amen. Title of my message this morning is simply, Great is Thy Faithfulness. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, and here's what it says. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Listen to that again. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. See, you can get people to promise all kinds of things. Talk, as you know, sometimes comes cheaply. But action is a little different. But you see, our God is a God of faithfulness. What did it say here? Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness demands and requires, first of all, commitment. Commitment. If you're married today, then there was a time when you and your spouse stood before a preacher or someone, and that person said something like this. Will you take this specimen? Oh, no. They didn't. Will you take this person to be your lawfully wedded wife or husband? Okay? And you answered either, I will or I do. And then somewhere a little further in the ceremony, it said, with the authority vested in me, etc., I now pronounce you husband and wife. And then those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, and you two have now become one. Someone said marriage is when two becomes one. Problem arises when you try to decide which one. Okay, so you two have now become one. That's called a commitment. And in most of the original ceremonies, been removed quite a lot in recent years, were these words, till death do us part. That's faithfulness. You see, faithfulness requires commitment. Now let me read that verse again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Here's another version of the same verse. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Let me give you another one. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Here's another one. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. What that simply says is this. Part of the character of Almighty God is faithfulness. And so therefore, God is going to do what he says. Secondly, faithfulness not only requires commitment, faithfulness requires compassion. It requires love. You see, if you love a person, genuinely love them, then faithfulness just becomes a general flow. Faithfulness just becomes a general outcome. And so the faithfulness of Almighty God to you and me flows out of the love of the heart of God. The songwriter put it this way, the love of God is greater far than pen or tongue could ever tell. It reaches to the highest star. It goes to the lowest hell, the love of God. Okay? So it requires compassion. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us. In other words, we are motivated by the love of Christ. The scripture says concerning Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Thirdly, faithfulness not only requires commitment, not only requires compassion, faithfulness requires consistency. In other words, you're in there for the long haul. For 38 years now, I've had the privilege of opening the Word of Life Bible Institute in Scroon Lake, New York. And this year, I'm going to close the Bible Institute, so I think they're trying to tell me something. But that's what I've told them anyway. With each of the 38 years, okay, I have the students repeat something during the week. I have them repeat it several times, so many times that I'm sure some of them have said, if I hear that one more time. And what I had them repeat is this: I will not quit. We are living in the quitting generation. Then we follow it with this: by God's grace, I can do it. I will not quit. By God's grace, I can do it. People are quitting everything today. Husband and wives are quitting marriage. Preachers are quitting the ministry. The deacons don't deacon. The ushers don't usher, right? So you see, consistency, being in it for the long haul. It's not like Finnegan, off again, on again, gone again. No. Faithfulness requires consistency. It requires standing by the stuff. And I meet students and graduates of Word of Life that I've taught all over the world, and without exception, they will say to me, just a few weeks ago, met one. They will say to me, I will not quit. By God's grace, I can do it. Don't remember anything I taught, but they do remember that, right? So faithfulness requires commitment, it requires compassion, and it requires consistency. Point number one, the explanation of faithfulness. That great old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I looked up and jotted down some information concerning that old hymn. And the writer of the poem is a man by the name of Thomas Chisholm, C-H-I-S-H-O-L-M, Chisholm or Chisholm. He was born in 1866. That was a day or two ago. No, I wasn't around at that time, pencil, okay? And he got saved at 27 years of age. He wrote over 1,200 poems, was sickly all of his life, and yet he lived to be 94 years of age. Okay? The music to the hymn was put together by a man by the name of William Runyon. William Runyon was a very close friend of Dr. William Houghton, who at the time was the president of Moody Bible Institute in the city of Chicago. And Dr. Houghton's favorite hymn was Great is Thy Faithfulness. So the Moody Radio Network invited a young singer to have a program on their network singing just the old hymns. And that young gospel singer that they invited to their program was a man by the name of George Beverly Shea. The younger generation doesn't have a clue who he was, but the older generation knows who George Beverly Shea was, and in just a minute, it'll relate to some more of you. Matter of fact, George Beverly Shea lived to be 104 years of age. Well, George Beverly Shea used on his Moody Radio Network program on a regular basis the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. At the same time, there was a young student at Wheaton College, which is not far from Moody Bible Institute, by the name of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham heard this young singer on the Moody Network and invited him to become part of his evangelism ministry. And of course, the rest is history. And so Billy Graham, along with George Beverly Shea and the team, were used of God to share the gospel of Christ around the world more to more people than any other person past or present. They literally used of God, and this hymn became internationally famous because of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Associations. Listen to it. Great is thy faithfulness. Here's the first verse. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shall be. Here's another verse. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Here's the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. Okay? Thou changest not. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Okay? Great is thy faithfulness. Number one, explanation of faithfulness. To be faithful carries with it the idea of being trustworthy. To be faithful carries with it the idea of loyalty. Being faithful carries with it the idea of being dependable. Put those three words together: trustworthy, loyal, dependable. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, let's say that we do this. Almighty God, the faithful God, is examining you and examining me on the basis of faithfulness. And on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of a rating would I get? What kind of a rating would you get? This is from God Himself, the faithful one. On a scale of 1 to 10, faithful to Him, faithful to His word daily, faithful in prayer, faithful in sharing Christ with others, faithful to my spouse, faithful to my family, faithful to my employer. Okay? Faithfulness to the local church, faithful in giving. Okay? How's my approval rating before Almighty God on the basis of faithfulness? Here is probably one of the best detailed definitions of faithfulness that I've ever come across, and I couldn't find out who said it originally, so it is original, because originality is the ability to forget where you got it. So here it is. Faithfulness is the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of the extenuating circumstances. Wow. You see, we sometimes say when everything's going well, man, God's good. But when the bottom seemingly has dropped out of everything, is God still good? Yeah. God is good, what? All the time. And folks, it's okay to respond. I checked that with the pastor, and he said it was okay. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, right? So, you see, if you really want to see the essence of faithfulness, you see it in the Lord Jesus. Psalm 85 says, mercy and truth are met together. Well, you know where mercy and truth met together? In Jesus Christ. And in John 1:14, we read these words. The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. Truthfulness and faithfulness are synonymous. So there's the definition, there's the explanation of faithfulness. Secondly, the expressions of faithfulness. I want to share with you four biblical expressions of the faithfulness of Almighty God. I could share 44 very easily, but just four. Here's the first one. Our God is faithful in forgiving every sin. That's our verse that we had up here on the screen this morning. What does it say? If we confess our sin, what's the next three words, folks? He's faithful. This group over here to my right, what's those three words? Go ahead. Thank you. You folks right out here in front of me, what are those three words? He's faithful. And you folks over here, you look fairly alert, so let me give you a chance. What are those three words? Faithful. Now, I think if we all said it together, probably, you know, we might get just a little bit of volume with it. So are you ready? Here we go. He, one more time, we got it. How often is he faithful? He's faithful all the time. So, number one, my God is faithful in forgiving every sin. What's it say? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. This translation said righteous. He's faithful and righteous to what? To forgive every sin. Now, that means I have my sin cleansed initially at salvation by the blood of Christ. But I'm not sure whether you're aware of it or not. Maybe I'm going to introduce something here that you're not aware of at all. But Christians do sin. Some of you knew that? I guess we all knew it. Okay? You see, when you get saved, you were made a partaker of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. The Christ life became your life. But you see, you didn't lose your old nature. Just in case you think you did, check it out with your spouse and you'll find out. So what's going on? There's a battle going on, right? But listen, greater is he than to me than he that is in the world. And so therefore my greatest need is what? Forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. See, there's only one person who can forgive sin, and that's Almighty God. And he is faithful. So that means that there is absolutely no sin beyond the forgiveness of our God, other, of course, the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. But if I come and confess my sin, he's faithful, he's righteous, he's just, he will forgive. So my God is faithful in forgiving every sin. Number two, my God is faithful in facing every situation. My God is faithful in facing every situation. In the process of preparing this message, I came across a verse in Psalm 119. As you know, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses, is that what I think? 176 verses. So if you're going to select a chapter to memorize this week, select that one. Psalm 119, okay? Now, this verse, I've read that psalm so many times over the years, but this verse stood out to me. It's verse 75. And here's basically what Psalm 119, 75 says. It says, Lord, in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. Listen to that again. In your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. We don't ordinarily connect affliction with the faithfulness of Almighty God. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, and from his imprisonment in Rome with a soldier chained to him around the clock, and he said, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And he said in verse 20 of chapter 1, so that in my body Christ might be magnified, whether by life or by death. And then the next verse, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he said, listen, whatever is happening to me is part of the faithfulness of Almighty God. And the psalmist said, Lord, in your faithfulness you have afflicted me, so I don't care what situation you face. By the way, our God knew all about COVID-19. Someone said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever just occurred to God? Okay? My motto during this entire period has been this. Our God is working an eternal plan, and he's on schedule. He just hasn't given the schedule to you and me. But let me tell you what. He knows what he's doing. Okay? He makes no mistakes. And I want to tell you something else. He still got it under control. He knows what he's doing. Okay? And when we eventually ever get all the votes counted, he knows that too. So my God is what? He's faithful. He is faithful. So he's faithful, first of all, in forgiving every sin, facing every situation. What might those situations, breaking in a new tongue, folks, what might those situations be? Well, could be sickness. Do you realize just a visit to the doctor this week could change the entire course of your life or mine? It could be the loss of a job, and that's happened, sadly, to so many people during this difficult time. Could be the loss of finances. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe a broken marriage. Maybe a rebellious child. Maybe COVID-19. Whatever circumstance it is, I want you to know that my God is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. So the God who has called me is faithful to what? He's faithful to do it. So we can depend upon him. That's why the hymn writer said, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, God has provided, right? Thirdly, not only forgiving every sin, not only facing every situation, but fighting the ever-present Satan, the devil himself. Here's a verse. Listen to it. This verse is in Thessalonians. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. I want to make sure I give you the right reference here. It is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil one. Listen to that again now. Okay, that's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord's faithful, he'll establish you. And then listen to this. He will keep you from the evil one. Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, Jesus, talking to Simon Peter, says, Simon, Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. You see, my faithfulness flows from my faith. So because of my faith, my belief, my trust in the living God, then that issues into a life of faithfulness and a life of commitment and a life of compassion and a life of consistency. Why? Because great is thy faithfulness. Now, there's a threefold enemy that every Christian faces. Matter of fact, if you want to find one scripture in the Word of God that'll give you all three, it's Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. The threefold enemy that every Christian faces is number one, the world, okay, number two, the flesh, and number three, the devil. And by the way, the devil, Satan, is back of all three, right? So we have that threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist years ago, he said he knew there was a devil for two reasons. Number one, the Bible said so. And number two, he'd done business with him. And I remember a gospel singer used to work with me. Well, matter of fact, he was a member of this church at one time, Brother Billy Spear and his wife Paula. Billy always sang a song about forgiven, forgotten, forever. Said he took my sins, buried him in the deepest sea, and then the song says he posted a no fishing sign. Billy Sunday said, God's buried my sins in the deepest sea, and if the devil tries to go down and dig them up, God will drown him. Well, thank God, because of my faith, because of my belief in him, therefore, by the grace of God, I can be faithful unto him. And remember, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Fourthly, in the expression of God's faithfulness, not only in forgiving every sin, facing every situation, and fighting the ever-present Satan, but focusing on every soul. Do you realize this morning you are important to God? You are special to him. You may sometimes wonder whether you're special to anybody else or not, but you're special to him. Let me tell you how special you are to him. He sent his son, the dearest possession of his heart, from the glory of heaven into this wicked, sin-cursed earth, despised, rejected, and hated of men, nailed to an old rugged cross, but thank God the grave couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he arose, and we serve a risen, living Savior. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ hath once suffered for sin. Thank God he was on the cross, but thank God he came down from the cross. Anytime you see a cross with Jesus still on it, it's 2,000 years out of date. Thank God he bore my sin on that cross. Thank God he was in the grave, but he came up from the grave. That's what separates biblical Christianity from every other ism, schism in the world. They serve a founder who was born, lived, and died. We serve one who ever lived. He's born, he died, and he ever lives. And thank God he's ever faithful. So he's faithful. What? Focusing on every soul. Have you ever thought that might be why you're still here? How come the day you get saved, God didn't just take you home to glory? Solved you a lot of problems, wouldn't he? But what did he do? He left you here. Get any idea why he left you here? Well, the Bible says you're my witnesses. The Bible says I'm to be his ambassador. The Bible says I'm to represent him on planet Earth. That's why you're here. See, this world's not my playground. This world's my preaching ground. I'm here on heaven's business. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's faithful. So therefore, he's focused upon... Do you realize that my God placed more value on just your soul? Never mind the 7.5 billion souls on planet Earth. He put more value on just your soul than the entire world. Mark 8:36 and 37. What shall it profit a man if he gain the world, lose his soul? What good would it do you to amass the world and die and go to hell without God, without Christ, and without hope? That's the value God placed on just you. Thank you. Great is thy faithfulness. We've seen the explanation. We've seen the expressions. Thirdly, examples. Examples of God's faithfulness. First, I want to give you the heavenly example. Then I want to give you a human example. Let's take Israel in the Old Testament. God called them out of Israel to lead them to the promised land of Canaan. Okay? So here's a question. With the means of transportation they had in those days, because as you know, the shock absorbers on those jackasses did not work the very best. So with the means of transportation that they had, how long should it have taken from Egypt to the promised land? Maximum 3 weeks. Maximum 3 weeks. How long did it take them? 40 years. 40 years on a 3-week trip. But don't be too critical of Israel. I'm meeting believers in our fundamental Bible-believing churches. Been 40 years getting where they should have gone 3 weeks. All because of unbelief. All because of a lack of faithfulness. Well, they got out in the wilderness, had nothing to eat, so they complained to Moses. Moses complained to God, so God sent a manna from heaven. Then they got along another place. They had no water to drink. Well, you can live longer without food. You can't without water. So God said, just speak to the rock. Then they came another place and the water was bitter. The place was called Marah, and you couldn't drink the water. So God said, throw a tree in. Anybody knows you throw a tree in the water, sweetens it up. So God said, throw a tree in it. So they sweetened it up. Then they came to Jericho. And the Lord said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around once every day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, we're going to march around 7 times. He said, when you go around the 7th time on the 7th day, shout and blow the trumpet and the wall will fall down. That's quite a plan, isn't it? I mean, the church committee would still be voting on that one. So what happened? They went around 6 times, once each day for 6 days. They went around 6 times on the 7th day. Then the 7th time around, when they finished, they shouted and blew the trumpet. The wall fell down. Great is thy faithfulness. Remember those 3 Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? One guy couldn't pronounce them, called him Meshach, Yershach, and Abednego. Those 3 guys, you remember they put a false image and they said, the king said, if you don't bow down and worship my image, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And those 3 lads said, we're not going to obey that king. We're going to serve our God. They threw him in the furnace, turned up a thermostat. King came, looked in, said, didn't we throw 3 in there? I see 4. And the form of the 4th is like unto the Son of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Is that the same God we serve today? Well, my Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord, I change not. My Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I think we can trust him, don't you? I think we can really trust. That's the faithfulness. Let's come give you one, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 23, Paul was falsely accused. He became a prisoner. He was on trial. And 40 men got together and they made a vow. And their vow was, we're going to kill Paul and we're not going to eat nor drink until we do it. So they said, what we want you to do is you move him from here to there. We'll be by the side of the road. We'll ambush him and kill him. Paul's nephew heard about it, got permission, went and told Paul. Paul said, tell the leadership. So he tells the leadership. So what do? Listen to this. They move him from one place to another. And they get 200 soldiers, 200 spearmen, and 70 horsemen, and they take him at night. 470 people guiding and guarding one little preacher. Couldn't you say, great is thy faithfulness? Yeah, that's the same God we're serving today, folks. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me give you one human example. 45 years ago, we left the pastorate, started traveling in this ministry. Just before leaving the pastorate, I led a certain person to Christ. And that person said to me as we're leaving, "I can't give you much, but I want to give you a little support every month." For 45 years, 540 months, that person has never missed one month. And just to show you how up to date it is, this month's gift came yesterday. You know what that's called? That's called faithfulness. Going to be a lot of surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. Going to be a lot of people stand tall that we never heard about, but they were faithful. So we have the explanation, we have the expression, we have the example. Finally, the exhortation. What should the faithfulness of God do in your life and mine? 1 Corinthians 4:2, here it is. It is required, not up for vote, not up for discussion, it's not optional, it's required that stewards, and a steward is someone who is given the responsibility of taking care of the matters of another. So we are the stewards of God's entrusting us with the gospel. We are the stewards of the grace of God. We are his servant. So here's what it says now, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required in a steward that a person be found successful. It's not what it says. It's required in a steward that you be found faithful. Faithful. Listen, you may not have great talent and ability. You might not be able to sing, preach, pray, or yodel. But I'll tell you one thing we can all be, and that's faithful. And it's required. On a scale of 1 to 10, as God evaluates me today, what score would he give me? Faithful. And then, all of this is because of my prospect for the future. Because one day, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Great is thy faithfulness." Father, how we thank you for your word. Lord, the word of God's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, it pierces to the dividing sunder of the soul, spirit, the joints, marrow. It's a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Every head bowed before the Lord here in the auditorium. Those of you that may be viewing or watching, if you know him as Savior, how is God's approval rating of my faithfulness? Areas where we need to do some business with God, let's do it. And then it may be you're either in the auditorium or viewing and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've never had your sin forgiven. My dear friend, God loves you. Jesus died and paid for your sin. He rose again. And if you will come today, trust and accept him, he'll wipe out your past, save your soul, and make you part of the family of God and put you on the pathway to faithfulness to him. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We seek your blessing in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you so much, Wendell. We appreciate that so very much today. I tell my students all the time, when God teaches us something, we're responsible for it. When he gives us an example, it increases our responsibility. Not only have we heard several examples today, we've seen a living example of faithfulness to God as well. So my prayer today is that we're not just hearers, that we'll be doers. That we will take that responsibility, we will apply it in our lives, and Bangor and the surrounding areas will be different because we were faithful to him. Will you stand with me as we close today in prayer? Again, we will dismiss you at the end of the service today. Thank you for your flexibility on how the regulations have gone up and down. We appreciate it so very, very much. We'll have you go out through that door again today, and you can put your offering in that box if you would like to. Father God, we thank you today for your great faithfulness to us. And Father, we come to you today with humble hearts, pleading and asking you, God, to do the impossible in our lives. God, we're asking that you help us to be as faithful to you as you are faithful to us. And God, may Bangor and the surrounding areas be different because we not only heard from our commander-in-chief, but we applied it to our lives. God, will you bless these folks today? We ask in the name of our Jesus, all God's people said, amen.